Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP has been serving people from all across the U.S. for more than 20 years, promising no less than their very best attention and commitment to making sure each of their clients has access to the answers they need, always being accessible. Their focus is on managing risk while always looking for opportunities. And since their own money is invested right alongside their clients, their focus is on results. To see about their targeted investment programs, just click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com. End of commercial, and now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is November 20th, 2016. We're coming very fastly approaching the end of the year. This is for above-average investing for the average investor. That's what we preach here on InvestTalk. And we're here every day, every weekday, to try to be a resource for answers for any money management, money kinds of questions, insurance, investing, for anything financial. We'll help you if we can. And today we're asking the question, is there a good reason to contradict the customary more conservative approach to your stocks versus bonds mix? You know, how as you get older and close to retirement, do you increase your stocks, increase your bonds? What is the mix that's right? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. 1 week from tonight, we'll be welcoming you to our wealth webinar. That's Wednesday, next Wednesday, December 7th at 6:30. It's 1 hour, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. How to prosper in a year of change, 2017. Does anybody doubt we're going to see some major changes in 2017? I mean, think about it. Who's the president? Yeah, there's going to be some changes. One of the issues, there was going to be even without Trump winning and Hillary winning, there's going to be some major changes coming up next year. But now, with Trump in, the changes are different. We had to change the 3-hour seminar we had, and we changed this webinar because that's what's based on that seminar. But so we had to change some of our approach on things, and we had to do it quickly. We see examples of it every day in the news. Some called in the surprise when, and some people call it a 2-year surprise. Remember the OPEC meeting met today. I'm going to go into that in detail later on. It's going to be one of my talking points. But they can cut a deal, right? Production. They're going to cut production. They made a deal, OPEC. So what's that going to do to the oil prices? Will it do anything? Many analysts are, thinking, will it happen actually? Now, OPEC seems to want to get serious about this. And even some non-OPEC countries agree to cut production. We'll see. We'll see. So what would you do if oil prices went up hugely? Let's say they went up 50% to $80, $90, $100 a barrel. What changes would you make in your portfolio? Will it go up that much? I don't think so. Could it? Yes. But what do you do? Did you do anything? I hope you join us for this important wealth conference and learn how to capitalize on economic political shifts for 2017. There's going to be changes. And investing in 2017 is going to be difficult because I think the stock market is going to be much more volatile next year than it has been this year and last year. I think it's going to be more volatile. We'll see. In this coming year, it will be important to understand the difference between growth stocks and value stocks. And that's part of this webinar, time to move away from growth. Actually, it's been time. Most of this year, value has worked a lot better than growth. So if you haven't transitioned, you need to start thinking about it. Look at the fundamentals. Look at the P-E ratios, price-to-sales ratios, Shiller P-E ratios, price-to-book rate. Look at all the ratios. And make sure you don't overpay for a stock. So we hope by providing you some good information, you can be a bit proactive in your strategy, maybe help rebalance and enhance your returns for next year. Now you can sign up for this 1-hour webinar. It's free, but you do need to register. Attendance is limited. Just go to investtalk.com and look for the webinar. You'll see it. You click on seminars and webinars, click on that, takes you to a page. There's a little page that talks about what this one's going to be about, and then there's a sign up button near the bottom in yellow. You can see it. Now let's open discussion to include you, of course, not just me. As always, we're up for any money question. Let's begin with the Q&A portion. Let's go to the 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is John from Walnut Creek. I have a question about the dollar index and what that represents. If the dollar index goes to 100, 101, 110, what does that mean? What is the 100 pegged to? Does that mean $1 is worth 100 of something? Or is that just like a representation of like a net asset value of the overall index? I was just curious if that number is pegged or related to the value of the dollar or what it's related to. Sorry if it's confusing. You have a great show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
No, it's not confusing. And, it's really a good question, because it is pegged to something, but it's pegged. It depends. Okay, a number of years ago, it was pegged to the yen. It's pegged to the euro. 100 yen equals how much in dollars? So there was a base number that it started off with. Okay, and this is years ago. I don't remember what year. And they have repegged it several times over time. But it was pegged. Remember, the dollar trades against other currencies, up and down against other currencies. So you have to look at, well, what's it pegged to? Okay, and when it says, well, it's 107, well, that is meaningless unless you know what it's pegged to. And that sounds like to me, I'd have to look at it because I'm not real positive because I don't trade in dollars. I just know it is pegged to a currency some years ago, and it moves up and down with the different currencies. It's floating. And so when it goes up, it means XY is getting stronger against other currencies. It goes down, means it's getting weaker, that kind of thing. But as far as, I don't study the dollar. We don't trade the dollar. We don't trade any currencies. So I'm not an expert in that, but it is pegged to something some time ago. Increase or decrease your stock mix in retirement. What should you do? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. I also want to talk about the 9% increase in oil prices today. The 9% increase in oil prices. And it's all about that OPEC agreement. The oil. So I want to talk about that and talk about the details and what do you really think the effect is? The Bayes book came out today. Now the Bayes book is the Federal Reserve's monthly or quarterly look at the economics of the 12 districts. And I think it comes out monthly. And this was as of November 18th. So we're going to talk about what they came up with. And did you see the GDP third quarter revision? Now remember, the GDP comes out after the end of the quarter. Okay, so right after the end, GDP comes out within a week or so of the end of the quarter. That's the first brush. Then they revise it about this time. Remember, I'm going to talk about the third quarter. So here it is, almost the beginning of December, and it's the revision. So they revised it now, and it came out today. I'm going to talk about that. There is one more revision at the end of this quarter, the fourth quarter. They'll revise the third quarter for the final time. And then we'll get a look at the fourth quarter in January. I want to talk about the GDP revision. What does it mean? Those are things that are on my mind. I'll be happy to talk about whatever's on your mind. The Dow was up 2 points today. Yippee-yay. The Nasdaq was down 56 points. And the S&P was down 6. The Nasdaq was down most of the day. The Dow was up bigger most of the day. And so the S&P was up most of the day, but it couldn't hold on to it. Just couldn't hold on to it. And for whatever reason, probably because it's overbought from the Trump victory and the Trump rally after that, the stock market is probably overbought and wants to give some of that back, and that's pretty normal. We can talk about the right stock bond mix for your retirement portfolio, but the first thing you need to know is what is your honest tolerance for risk? Once you come to grips with that, then you can get into the details. So we can talk about that. We can determine that. take our free risk analysis quiz. It's the first step in determining whether your portfolio matches your preference. When you're ready, you can spare 3 minutes. That's all it's going to take. Click on investtalk.com and use our free risk analysis tool.
I have two questions about Kellogg, symbol K. This is Phil from Oklahoma City. Would it be a reasonable core holding? Second, what would be a good entry point for the stock given its recent downturn? Thanks.
Okay, it's Kellogg, K. I think everybody knows who they are. Manufactures ready-to-eat cereals and other grain-based convenience food products worldwide. It's a big cap company, $25 billion, pays 2.9% dividend. So when he's talking about a core holding, he's saying, okay, it's a big blue chip company paying a dividend. So it has fallen from about $85 back in July. Now it's at 72, had a down 2% today. And is this a good place to buy? And I'll say, no, it's not. I think it has more to go on the downside. Why? Well, it's still not cheap. Okay, it's still not cheap. The current PE is 18, and that's based on $3.68 or so a share. It's a $72 stock. I can't justify that kind of PE. It should be a normal stock market PE, okay? And what is a normal stock market PE? Well, right now the S&P PE ratio is 19, but that's not normal. The S&P normal PE is around 15. So it's overpriced. You know, its sales are falling slowly, 2% last quarter, 7% the quarter before that, 5%. There's no growth in sales. How are they increasing their earnings? Because their earnings are going to go up 3% this year and 8% next year. How are they doing that? Cutting costs. But what really worries me, they have a lot of debt. Why in the world should they have debt? This company's been around forever. Shouldn't we be debt free? Why do you have debt? Where does that come from? Did you buy other companies with that debt and therefore try to spark growth? Is that what you're doing? You really got to understand the debt. There's a lot of debt on this. I wouldn't buy the stock. I wouldn't. Now you want an entry point? Well, it's going to have to be in the mid 60s before I would even consider it. But I don't think I would even consider it there. Not Kellogg. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So how much bonds, if you're in retirement, approach retirement, or you just aren't conservative, what percentage of bonds should you have in your portfolio? Now remember, we talked about bonds and bond funds. The difference between bond funds and bond ETFs that sell at a net asset value and actual buying the bonds and holding them in your portfolio. And you know, I much prefer holding the bonds, even though I know a lot of people can't buy bonds or don't know how to buy bonds, or they have too small a portfolio to have to buy bonds to get a good spread of risk without buying an ETF or a bond fund. So I've talked about that a lot, but how much of this more conservative asset be part of your overall portfolio? There was an old school of thought, which has been thrown out and not used very often anymore, which was, You take your age, okay, and it was a formula based on how old you are and how much bonds you should have and how old you are and how close you are to retirement. I don't really want to give out that. I'm hesitant because I don't really want to give out the formula because I don't think it's a very smart formula. What I do think is smarter is just know how much risk you're comfortable with. And set up the percentage yourself, 40% bonds, 60% stock, 60% bonds, 40% stock, you know, vice versa, inverted. What do you feel comfortable? 50-50, 70-30, what is your mix? And then that goes to how much risk you're comfortable with. How much risk are you comfortable with? That, and you can determine that. You can go to my website and fill out that thing, and I'll tell you whether you're comfortable with risk or not. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Any money questions is on the table, 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line.
Hey, guys. Matt, Minneapolis here. Love listening to you. Love your show. I have a few questions for you, please. The first one, maybe I should probably know this, I guess, but You talk about a lot in taking a position in a stock. What exactly is the definition of a position? Is it just buying one share and then in the future buy a second share and that'd be the second position? Or is it a group of stocks like 50 or 100? Is that a full position? What exactly is the definition of the word position is my question. And then also I'm looking for a growth stock. What do you guys think of Pfizer, FNSR, and what do you also think of Cognex, CGNX, and Emerson Electric, which pays a great dividend? I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on these. Thanks. Have a great day.
Actually, that's a very good question. I have to apologize if we're not making, we're not making that clear. What is a position? A position. A position is an equity you're buying, a stock. Okay, so we say, well, you need to take a position in that stock. What a position is for us, and there's no official definition, but for us, a 3% of your portfolio is a normal size position of a stock. 3% of your portfolio. Obviously, that means then you'd have to have 33 stocks to be 99% invested, right? And that's about how many stocks we think you should have. About that many. Now you can have 2%, you can have 5%, 5% is up in the upper limit, but 3% would be a normal position. So if we talk about, well, you should take a position in that stock, we're talking about 3%. Okay, so that's what a position. Concerning the stocks that you have, I don't want to give you all three because it takes time to go through them, but let's talk about the middle one, FNSR, Finisterre Corporation. That's a $3.6 billion company. And it's a, it's going to make $1.75 this year, $2.02 next year, and it's a $33 stock. So what does that tell you as far as value? Okay, if it only made a dollar last year, and it's going to double it next year. I mean, actually, 2018, it's going to make $1.75 next year, $2.02 in 2018. So that's a pretty big jump in earnings. It doesn't have a lot of debt. So, but you're chasing the stock. It's been up. Do not chase stocks. Wait till you see some kind of pullback. It did have a little pullback in early November. That would have been a good time to buy to about 27, 28. Now it's 33. I think that's where you want to buy it, 28-ish. So, maybe you can get it at 30. I'm okay with that. But I don't want to 10% above that. It's 33 today. And the reason, because it's kind of expensive. It's not cheap. With a 29 PE, but forward PE based on 2018, it looks cheap, fairly cheap. A $33 stock with $2.02. So that's what, 16 PE? And that's not cheap. That's market value. Finisterre Corporation manufactures transmitters, receivers, transceivers, transponders to connect LAN and WAN networks, LAN and WAN networks. You'd have to look it up to find out exactly what that all that stuff does. But I like the fact they don't have much debt. I do like that. The reason why you'll hear me talk more and more about debt going forward is because interest rates look like they're rising. Okay, if you look at, just the bond rates, the mortgage rates, any rates you want to look at, the rates are rising. So, that means when they have debt, the corporations have debt, they're going to have to pay more for future debt. If they have to refinance the debt they have, eventually they're going to have to either pay it off, which will hurt their earnings, or refinance it, which is going to be a higher cost. Cost of money is going up. 888-99-CHART. Okay, so the OPEC people met and they agreed to a cut with a ceiling of 32.5 million barrels a day. The price of oil today went up 9% because of this to $49. Now, the last time they agreed to a cut was 8 years ago. And just so you know, they have a history of announcing cuts, but everybody breaking the restrictions so that they can't seem to agree to it. That's about 1.2 million barrels a day. And of the 1.2 million, Saudi Arabia has agreed to cut 486,000 barrels a day. So they have the majority of that. Also, non-OPEC countries agreed to cut production. Russia agreed to cut the whole cut for non-OPEC countries is 600,000, which we are not one of them, by the way. We're not in OPEC, and we're not considered non-OPEC. And Russia has agreed to be 50% of that 600,000. So the market liked that, but is it really going to happen? Now, they're trying to make it sound like it's going to happen. But, you know, every time they've ever tried it, it does not work. But everybody thinks it might work, and so the oil prices go up. Remember, perception can be reality and vice versa. So that's kind of what the news out was out this today about OPEC and oil prices. And, of course, it helped all the oil majors today. Now, these cuts don't come into effect till January, and we'll see how serious they are, because it's so easy to cheat, and they do. They do. Apparently, they've given up on driving our Shell oil companies out of business. Couldn't do it. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast, Reverse Head and Shoulders, Fibonacci Support Levels, Wide Range Reversals. There are many chart patterns that investors and traders can use to identify likely moves in the market. And when you're an InvestTalk insider, you have instant access to the knowledge you need to make more confident investing decisions. The chart lessons are designed to give investors an inside look at the technical analysis aspect of investing. To join up our InvestTalk Insider program, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, and it's free. You're listening to InvestTalk for Wednesday, November 30th. $50 trillion of cash now on the sidelines. Are people that scared, or are they just waiting for opportunities? Good news for stocks and gold. That's one of our talking points next time. Right now, 888-99-CHART is how to get your talking point to us on InvestTalk.
Steve, Justin, Michelle Davis from Lakewood, Colorado. Here's my question. In light of the bond market, and there's more than $1 trillion in bond funds and bonds themselves, how do you foresee that market going forward, we'll say in the next 5 to 10 years, in light of interest rate risk and demographics with the baby boomers taking distributions in addition to inflation? Thanks again.
Well, I think one thing should result is the bond values going down because interest rates are probably going to rise. Now, we don't know that for sure, you know, but you know, we saw rates rising recently, but I think if they do rise, it's going to be fairly slow. I don't think that it's going to be as rapid as a lot of other people. And over 5 years, you're probably going to have a recession in there. So the rates will go down during recession. They usually do. The Feds will come in and try to lower them, but they got to be higher than they are now for them to lower it to fight the next inflation, next recession. So I'm going to say that I think bonds have a place in people's portfolio. I'm going to also say that baby boomers are going to have to work longer because they don't have a lot of money. And so I don't know if the withdrawal rates of these bond funds are all going to be that impactful on the bonds, because, you know, they're not, the consumers are not, the average person is not the one who owns a lot of bonds. They just don't. A lot of institutions own those bonds. So I'm going to say that there's going to be downward pressure on bond prices, but that's why you have a ladder. You produce a ladder in your portfolio where the bond comes due every year or so, and then 2 years and 3 years and 4 years, so you ladder them out so that the one comes due, you go out 4 or 5 years to try to catch a higher interest rate and not worry about trying to trade them. Just buy them at par, hold them to maturity, collect your interest rate, and buy another one at par. I think that you don't have to worry about it. I would also say you need to stay with the high quality bonds, not junk bonds. Avoid junk. They're not paying enough interest rate right now. Junk has it for years to be worth it. Just not worth it. Worth the risk. My opinion. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Jim in Indiana. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm good. How about yourself, Dean?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Good. Hey, I was calling today to find out some information about how to spot consolidation when I'm looking at a chart. And also kind of get a better idea of what exactly that means.
Okay. Let's talk about consolidation, everybody. It's a good question, Jim. When you're looking at a chart, now a chart is nothing more than the movement of the stock price on a day-to-day basis. You look at a one-year chart, Jim, of a daily chart over 1 year period, okay? You start there.
Okay.
Now, you look at a chart, and to see consolidation, you have to see sideways movement. That's consolidation. So you can have consolidation from a chart that moved up, and then for several months, the stock price just went flat. It could be months. It could be a year or two. Consolidation. Okay. It also does the same thing going down. It can go down and then go flat. That flat part is consolidation. Whenever you see the stock moving sideways, it's consolidating. That's what the consolidation is. Now you have to figure out, was it consolidating to move up higher or is it consolidating to break down? And the only way to know that is you go to the fundamentals, which is always first. And is it a stock that's growing its earnings and sales and it's not overpriced? You know, is there lots of competition coming in? What's going on with the company? Because then you can determine, have a more reasonable expectation if the consolidation is positive or negative for the next move in the stock. The longer it consolidates, the more powerful the move.
Okay, and I guess then how do you tell the difference between support and consolidation?
Support and resistance?
Yeah.
Okay, consolidation could be let's say it goes down and starts to move sideways. The longer it moves sideways, the more support it usually will have. But you have to look before the consolidation period too. Where has it moved down to this price before, in a year ago, 2 years ago, and then bounced up? That's what you're looking for support. Well, if the stock has moved up and started to move sideways, now you're looking at resistance. Is the resistance going to, it can't hop, why can't it go up higher? Why is it moving sideways? And you look back and see if it's broken out of this resistance or is this really the price it has gone to every time. If you see the consolidation of a stock you want to buy and it's moved up and it's consolidating, you wait till it breaks up before you buy it. Okay? You wait. And that's consolidation after a fall, same thing is true. You wait for it to start to break up before you buy it.
Okay?
That makes sense?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Good question about chart reading. Remember, chart reading is not a science. You need to learn how to do it because professionals like us use it, but it doesn't always come true. It just tends to come true. 888-99-CHART, the Beige Book came out today, and this is the Beige Book is the Federal Reserve puts this out, and it's a look at the 12 districts, and it is, there were some strong signs and some weak signs, and they were looking for signs of what happened after the election. Remember, this survey was on November 18th. And it's a collection of anecdotal information from businesses and contracts and, you know, whether new business is growing, orders are picking up. That's all it is. It's not something official. And according to this, they said the retail sales as of November were mixed. Now, one of the things they said about retail sales is there's very little price control by the producers, the makers of the goods. They have to cut prices. There's cutthroat competition, which is good for you and me, the consumer. They also said they see continued modest growth and that the stronger dollar is a headwind for our economy. And the dollar has gotten stronger. As you know, ever since Trump got elected, the dollar has kind of spiked up. Now, it looks like some 4 or 5 days of consolidation going on right now, huh? I use that same thing we just talked about. In other words, it's moved sideways for the last 3 or 4 or 5 days. But before that, it was just up and up and up and up. So we're seeing some little bit of consolidation there. So things look pretty good, according to the Beige Book, as of November 18th, which is the most recent information you're going to ever get. Okay. 888-99-CHARP, 888-992-4278. We at KPB Financial are convinced that there is a way for an average investor to become better, to manage their 401k better. And we have a program called My 401k that helps solve this issue of trying to figure out what funds should I buy in my 401k. And we believe this new system can help meet a pretty serious challenge for the average person, how to make better choices in putting my 401k together. To find out more about it, just head to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
Steve sets aside time each month to talk with our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolio, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done on Skype or telephone. If you'd like to reserve your hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, and then Portfolio Review.
888-992-888-99-CHARP is our number. Give me a call. Love to talk to you. Let's talk to Bruce in Fresno. How you doing, Bruce?
Hi. I was wondering about Duke Energy. I noticed that you've liked it around these prices, and it was off today. And yeah, at what price would you say maybe this wasn't a good idea? If it breaks the support that it's been at, or
yeah, it's right at support.
This one for a while.
Right about $73 is its support. That's $73.77. I'm hoping that'll hold here. Duke Energy, everybody, DUK is a symbol, provides electric and natural gas utility services to 7 million people. And the reason why I'm saying that is making it, you know, pays a 4.6% dividend. It's a utility company. That dividend is probably rock solid. They're going to make $4.67 this year and then $4.65 next year. So it's pretty flat on its earnings. Sales have been fairly kind of on slowly falling, and then the recent quarter was up 5%. So the question is, do you think the economy is going to get stronger or weaker? If it gets stronger, that would be positive for the utility sector. But what is negative for the utility sector is increasing interest rates. That's negative because they usually carry debt, utilities. But Duke has less debt than others, which is one of the reasons why I like it. I like it because of that 4.6% dividend. Ideally, I mean, I would love to buy the stock in the low 60s. I mean, that would be ideal. But right here, about 73, is where there's some support. Looks like support to me. And if it breaks below that, I wouldn't touch it until it went down to the low 60s. I wouldn't even consider it.
Okay. Real quick. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Appreciate Duke, D-U-K. This is a good place to buy it because it's right at market PE. The 5-year range is 14 to 20, and it's right at 16. So it's a good place to buy it right in here, but it's got to hold support. Time for InvestTalk 101. Can you convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA? Traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. First of all, why would you do it? A traditional IRA is money that you put in that has been tax-free. You didn't have to pay an income tax on that money you put in, a traditional IRA. A Roth IRA is money you put in after taxes. So can you roll an IRA into a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA? The answer is yes, you can. But you got to make sure you remember the tax difference. Because if whatever you roll out of a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA has to be added to your adjusted gross income that year, and you have to pay income tax on it. So if you took $10,000 out of your Roth traditional IRA and put it into your Roth, that's $10,000 is added to your income, and you have to pay income tax on it. Now, if you're 59 and a half, there is no taxes. You don't have to pay. Wait a minute. If in a Roth, in a Roth. Money is in there after tax, but not on any gains as you go along. No taxes when you draw it out after 59 and a half. And you can draw out a Roth anytime you want. That's the benefit. So it can grow, and you never have to pay taxes on it. But a traditional IRA, all the growth, every dime you take out of a traditional IRA is added to your adjusted gross income. Okay? You got to remember how the tax treatment is. That's the important thing. Okay? The simplest way to do this is just talk to your financial institution and roll out some of the money from the traditional IRA into a new Roth IRA in the same financial institution. You'll have two accounts. You know, one's a Roth, one's a regular. You can't combine them. They're two separate. Okay? There's other ways to do it, but that's the easiest way to do it. Easiest way to do that. That's Invest Talk 101. Do you have investing experience you'd like to share? Send me a note. Give me a call. Either way, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, or you can click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com and send me an email. That'd be good. I wouldn't mind that. So we had a night. I want to talk about the GDP revision that was made for the third quarter. It was a pretty big revision. And is it good news or bad news? And what do you think about what Trump is doing with his cabinet selections? Do you think those are positive for the market or negative for the market? Okay, I'm going to tell you, traditionally, the stock market has done better with Democratic presidents than with Republican presidents. Just has, okay? But, of course, there's been a lot more time with Democratic presidents than Republican presidents, too, in the stock over the last 100 years. So I don't know how fair or unfair that is. But the perception is, and whether it's reality or not, is Democrats spend more money, Republicans spend less money. But Trump certainly seems to be standing that perception on its ear. He seems to going to be spending more money, cutting taxes, spending a lot of money on infrastructure, spending a lot of money on defense. And so is that would be normally be positive for the stock market. The question is all that spending going to equal better GDP growth in the future? Or is he just going to add more debt? There's got to be some fiscal responsibility in there somewhere, too. People and investors are looking for that, I can tell you that. So it's really an interest. No, this is what's so interesting is Trump is an unknown for the market. Unknown. We don't know what he's going to do. We, the investors, the investor community, not sure. We know what he says, but what is he actually going to do? And that's what's going to be so interesting. And that's one of the reasons why I think we're going to see more volatility in the market. Up and down. Not just up, but up and down. Now, will the market go up? The volatility could be up volatility. It could be down volatility. Where do you think the general direction is going to be? That's really the key. You're listening to Invest Talk. We've got another segment left. We'll just take your call. If you call right now, you can get in. 888-99-CHART is our anytime listener line. We're here for you.
Hello, Justin and Steve. My name is Landon, and I'm 13 years old. I listen to your show every morning on the way to school, and I would like to know if I can start a taxable account. Understand I can't start a Roth IRA or a traditional RIA until I get a job. If so, what is your opinion of CVS Health Corp, ticker symbol CVS? When we go there, the line is always long, and healthcare seems like a good long-term investment. Thank you for your answer, and I'll be listening to the podcast.
Boy, that's a pretty cogent question. Smart kid, 13 years old. You cannot open an account at 13 years old. You cannot. But your parents can open what's called an UTMA, which is a uniform gift to minors type of account. In other words, it's your money and your account, but it's in their name, and then it turns into your money and your name at 18. Because you can't sign contracts. So you can't open an account to sign a contract. Your parents have to do it. But you can help have your parents open up an account for you. It's very easy. Go to any brokerage firm. CVS Health Corporation. Operates almost 10,000 pharmacies and drugstores in 49 states and Puerto Rico. It looks fairly, it's been falling from $102 down to today's $76.89 today, but it fell down to about $72.50, $73, and then it's bouncing up the last 3 or 4 days. It's now pretty much a value investment. The sales are growing about 15-18% per quarter. Earnings are going to be up 13% this year, then only up 1% next year. So, and I noticed that they kind of lowered guidance of earnings for 2016. So that's one of the reasons why they've been suffering. And, of course, Trump is going to be changing Obamacare. We don't know what shape that's going to take. Will that hurt or help CVS? Well, I can tell you this might be a good place to take a chance. Pays a 2.2% dividend, not a ton of debt. Cash flow is very strong. Return on equity is 15. Good, solid company. And I think this might be a good price. Right around $72.50, $73 is a great price. That's where the support is now. Today it's at $76.89. So it could be a good place to buy. The 20-day moving average is $83, so that's quite a ways up. You might want to wait to see if it breaks up a little bit more before, because it's only been 3 or 4 days it's been starting to move up. So from that $72, $73, $74 price. So it's a tough call. It's a higher risk than normal, only because the chart is still in a downward pattern. It has not broken up above any trend line or anything like that. It just looks like it might have finally found a bottom. Might. But it's a good, solid company. Long term, it should be fine. I can't see how anything that Trump does will be that destructive for CVS Health Corp. GDP third quarter revision. Okay, now remember when it was first came out, was 2.9% growth. Which was okay, you know. This revision is now 3.2%. They expected it to be 3.1%. The revision is 3.2%. That's the fastest quarter growth in 2 years. Now, how come? What happened? What made them revise it? Why? Well, number one, consumer spending was revised up from 2.1% to 2.8%. And since 66 to 70% of our economy is consumer spending, that 0.7 increase was pretty darn impactful on the GDP number. Also, office and factory spending by corporations rose 10.1% from the initial reading of up 5.4%. So they spent a lot more money than everybody expected. And that could be very supportive for future growth. And remember how I've been whining about we've had 6 quarters in a row of downward falling earnings? Well, final estimates, the final earnings tally has come in for the third quarter. And earnings grew. Profits grew 7.6% after 6 quarters in a row falling 13.3%. So we finally have some growth in profits. Have we turned the corner? It looks like we have to me. Looks like. Now, don't mistake me. The stocks are still pretty off, still pretty overpriced. I mean, that's because you have earnings. I mean, you have enough earnings. Still overpriced. Our time's up for this hour. I thank you for listening today. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. We'll be here tomorrow. Why don't you join us if you can? And a reminder, sign up for our free wealth webinar coming up on December 7th, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time, How to Prosper in a Year of Change 2017. It's free, but you do need to register on InvestTalk.com.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing.
Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.